When I was a kid, my family used to go on long trips through the Great Plains. We would drive for miles through seemingly endless prairie, seeing often more cows than people. Sometimes we would stop by country churches just to check them out, and if we were lucky, to attend services. I remember one of those visits in particular. We were seeing my father's family in a small town in South Dakota, complete with one whole intersection and four stop signs. We were invited to attend the local Lutheran church. It was housed in one of those white steeple congregations on a dirt road, full of what looked like mostly farmers and ranchers. I was curious about the service and sat more or less contentedly through the singing and the reading. It wasn't my tradition growing up, but I found myself enjoying the sense of community and togetherness. Before long, it was time for communion. I'd gone to communion before in other churches, but this time turned out to be different. I was handed a little card that asked me to identify if I was a certified member of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, which was that congregation's denominational affiliation. If not, I was informed, I would be unable to receive communion and should remain in my seat. I watched from the pews as all my relatives and the whole congregation stood up, walked up to the front, received bread and wine, and sat back down. At the time, my childhood self didn't understand why my family and I had to be left behind. I felt set apart, even slightly embarrassed for being among the three people only left, only unable to take part. We were different, it seemed. This feeling of not belonging among the religious has been a persistent one for me. Faith has never come easily, and ministry even less. If you had told me that I would want to be ordained 10 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy, or that in the intervening years that I had gone crazy. Even so, I grew up with religion all around me. My extended family's Lutheranism, my childhood Unitarian Universalism, and a high school dabbling in Presbyterianism. But I was always an outsider looking in. Religion always seemed a bit strange, sometimes irrational or hurtful, or even just silly, something other people seemed to get, but I could only guess at. I was interested enough, though, that when I got to college, I decided to major in it. I found it fascinating how religion seemed to affect people, how it made them passionate and secure and confident in their lives and what they believed in. But I didn't consider myself to be religious, and I didn't go to church. That was for people, I thought, who believed in God, or who liked to pray, or who read the Bible before going to bed each night and wanted to live like a monk. I didn't believe or want to do any of those things. Because of that, my first experience in ministry happened by accident. In college, I needed a job. I knew the chaplain's office was hiring, and since I was a religion major anyway, thought it might be a good fit. I imagined I could learn a little bit about interfaith work or the academic study of religion in a secular place, where I could work with people who actually believed things. But after accepting the job, I learned I had misread the job description. I remember receiving my very first email from the chaplain, where she had casually signed it in faith, and realized with growing concern I had joined an honest-to-God religious organization. I quickly learned I was expected to lead things like spiritual discussion groups and offer homilies and give reflections on my own religious ideas. And at the time, that made me very uncomfortable. But obviously, I stuck with it. At first, because I had to, and later, because I found myself wondering if maybe I could actually belong there. It started after reading a book by a philosopher named Ludwig Feuerbach. He wrote a book called The Essence of Christianity. The book was radical at the time. It suggested that we had created God as a reflection of our own highest ideas. It was an idea that had been widely condemned at the time for basically attacking the core essence of what the Christian God was. And yet, Feuerbach didn't see it that way. Even as he essentially dismissed centuries of Christian teaching, he ended his book in a very strange, but I think profound way. He ended it with the word, Amen. So here he was, denying the core of acceptable Christian doctrine, but refusing to abandon his right to call himself religious. He was carving out a space for himself, that his pursuit of truth, heretical as it was at the time, was worthy of the sacred word, Amen. It was a refusal to be defined by another's categories, having a confidence to claim his own religious path. I think this way, and this claiming, and this path is the way for many of us religious liberals. It has been mine, a long and winding one. It's a path that centers around the questions of, do I belong here? Am I actually spiritual enough or religious enough? And for me, who am I to serve as any form of religious leader? These questions for me have stemmed from a deep need to be true to myself and uphold the integrity of both heart and mind. They stem from refusing and wanting to refuse to pretend that I am something I am not, a desire to be sincere and honest. What many of us eventually discover as the good news of Unitarian Universalism is that people with these kind of questions and concerns and doubts always, unconditionally, do belong, that the door is always open, and that there are no second-class believers here. This, I believe, is our faith at its best, a place where no assumptions are made and no religious authority trumpeted as greater than the simple sensation of the human heart, where people can bring their whole selves, even the complicated, the messy, the doubts, and the worn parts of the human spirit. Above all else, this is what makes our tradition special. Of course, we do many wonderful things. We do social justice well, we are thoughtful, we are loving, we are hopeful. We have helped oppose harmful and hateful doctrines over the centuries. But in these virtues, we are not distinct, and I think many other faiths do them just as well. But what makes us truly unique, when people think of what distinguishes us from others, is this ethic of radical pluralism, that all belong, that we welcome Christians and atheists and Buddhists and pagans and anyone who may be just looking for hope and purpose and love in their lives. I think there are times when our tradition and a lot of us forget that this is our greatest gift. I hear it when folks complain about us being wishy-washy or hard to define, or that our great sin is this diversity of theologies and religious experiences that lead us to not really know who we are, that we might be lost unless we articulate a clearer sense of identity and set of beliefs. I'm not opposed to this clarity in theory. I think it can be done well, and that knowing who you are is really important. But in practice, my observation has been that when religion turns towards concreteness, it often leads to something else, a narrowing, where one way of being human or religious or authentically Unitarian Universalist is privileged over another. And then we lose that beautiful pluralism that lets people like me be here. I've often found that that desire for certainty and clarity comes from an anxiety about our own sense of who we are and how we can talk to other people around it. Sometimes it has to do with our desire to grow our faith. Some argue we'll never reach our full potential as a religious community unless our identity becomes clear. I've talked to folks who worry it's hard to explain to their friends or coworkers, or that they feel awkward or embarrassed, or simply misunderstood. How do you invite your friends to church if you can't even say what you believe? About a year ago, I was working for a little startup church, birthed from an older congregation in the city of Boston, that wrestled with these questions a lot. What was our new identity? How should we present ourselves? Our goal was to offer something new and different for progressively minded young people. It ended up attracting the attention of Boston Magazine, who profiled us in an article. They were especially interested in how we were reinventing liberal religion and in our branding, how we were marketing ourselves to the world. I remember shuddering a bit at what they wrote, not because they ignored the good work that people were doing, but because I felt like they had misinterpreted it. They suggested that church growth and church prosperity in general meant that narrowing. They wrote how about being intentional about mission meant inviting theological exclusivity, that when you sell a product, and the title of that article was actually Selling God, you need a clear sense of what you are selling. You need a product. You need something easy to define and easy to understand, something that you are, and then also something that you are not. The problem for me was that the reason I love our tradition is for the very reason that it is indefinable. For the very reason that we are many things at once. I love it because I can be confused and uncertain, because I can be one thing and another, because my questions are honored and so is the ambiguity. Maybe that makes for a harder sell or harder conversations with strangers and friends, but I think we have to stay true to ourselves. If we lose our soul in the process, it doesn't matter if our souls are overflowing. Our churches are overflowing. Our faith is about radical openness, welcoming, but not narrowing. If it wasn't, I wouldn't belong. We have a good religion here, full of skeptics and agnostics, of people who cringe at the word God or prayer. It's a good religion, even when it's harder to explain and doesn't make a good tagline. And it's good because of these things, not in spite of them. They are signs that we think and feel deeply, that we try hard to do what is right, and that we are always honest with ourselves, that we love and welcome all who come. That's who we are, and that's what we should be proud of. What unites us is this spirit of broadening and deepening. And it comes alive in our churches. When I'm asked why I wanted to become a minister, despite my struggles with religion, I like to talk about my fondest memories of church, attending services on Christmas Eve. I like to think back how it felt to come in from the dark winter, full of anticipation, to hold candles, to sing Silent Night, and have the light fill the church, smell the old pine, and hear a wonderful story of a special little baby born of simple and humble means. And that person who asked me why I want to be in church, often I see them smiling and remembering too. And I say that as a congregation and people who go to church, we get to be stewards of that spirit and that magic. We get to help children feel this love and the wonder and joy, and help adults remember that too, and not just during Christmas, but all year round. What could be a more special way to spend one's life? This spirit and this magic is beyond belief, beyond knowing or certainty. It is the creation, the cultivation of magic and wonder, the very things you can't package or sell or market. We all know that Hallmark has tried, but it will never figure it out. Because any religion worth having is too big, too real, and too deep for that. It's about creating powerful and lasting connections. It is never flashy and never cheap. Take risks, and it takes time, and it takes love. We can't force it, and we can't pretend. This love of mystery and wonder and realness is what our tradition is all about, different as we all might be. We can have our doubts, we can wrestle with our religion, but we all know what it's like to feel moved or touched or inspired. We have all felt the warm glow of candlelight on our faces, the feeling of being lifted up by a loving friend on a tough day, looking up at the stars to marvel at a night sky. Even if we struggled with where we belong, whether we can say with confidence that we are religious or not, we know beauty and goodness when we see it. And so the religion that I believe in calls us to these sacred things and asks us to love them and serve them and help others do the same. This is not an easy faith or a convenient one, but I think that's okay, because good religion was never going to be. It needs to be deep and intimate and mysterious. It needs to defy our easy understanding. So we come to church to witness this glimpse of the infinite. We see it, come and see where it takes us, hoping simply to have fine company along the way. So take heart, friends. Have hope. For this is enough, and it is good. May it be so, and amen.